All right, take your Bibles and let's turn to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. We'll get into our lesson in a moment. Let me share some good news with you, give you the final totals on the Phil America report. We had 207 people participated in passing out the tracts, and we had 3,627 tracts handed out hand-to-hand, and 2,163 tracts left for someone to find the tracts somewhere along the way. That's a total of 5,790 tracts, and all of the reports hadn't come in that were passed out for this about 3 weeks here. So we praise the Lord for that good report, and for the first time, I think that's excellent. And we never know where the word is going to find somebody's heart and they'll get saved or help them out somehow. But if you participated, certainly appreciate that. And if you didn't, maybe the next go around. We'll do this about two or three times a year. But that's a good report, and I'm very encouraged by it. Mark chapter 5 is where our lesson will be, so find your place there. We are in the series, Consider Christ. So the first lesson was simply consider Christ. Then the second lesson was consider his presence. And then Brother Gillett taught on consider his omniscience. Today we're going to share a lesson on delivering, or considering rather, his deliverance as he delivers people from sin. Consider his deliverance. The past lessons, one of them we had to do with his rebuking the storm, and that deals with the physical. And this lesson shows the power of God over the spiritual, the problems that a person would have. Millions of people we know are trapped by the devil, and some of them really enjoy living in that darkness. They don't want any change, but Satan has blinded them, and they're fascinated with that darkness. And I want to remind us all today, we joke about that sometimes, or say, well, the devil made me do it. But we need to be mindful of the fact there is a real devil. There's a real devil. And he has many demons that are working with him. And they are very powerful today, just like they were back on this occasion that we're going to look at. In fact, I think the devil probably has more tools now to use even than he did back then. But nevertheless, he uses them, and we should not take him lightly. So in Gadara, he met two men possessed. Our text today talks about one of them, but Matthew talks about two. He mentions the other one. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils or demons, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Matthew 8, in verse 28. And so, of course, here in Mark, we have it. Now, the account teaches us about spiritual warfare. And in your outline, we have the presence of demonic influence. The presence of demonic influence. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 2 says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, an unclean demon, actually demons that were in him that gave him this unclean spirit. And this is, I would say, one of Satan's prized examples of a person that is controlled by demon possession. How did he ever get into that? I don't know. Maybe he was involved in the occult. Maybe he was involved in pagan worship somehow, and the demons got into his spirit. Maybe it had to do with narcotics that they had even back in that day. Maybe it was immorality in his life. I don't know. But we do know that he wasn't saved, and demons were indwelling this man and controlling this man. And in our culture today, I think we're seeing a lot of demon influence in the lives of people, a lot of it. How do we know that people are being possessed by demons? How do we know? What are some of the characteristics of people where demons are controlling them? Now, thank God, if you're saved, the demons cannot control you, and the demons are not going to live in the same house with Jesus because Jesus is not going to let them, the Holy Spirit. But demons are real. So how do we know when there are signs of that? Well, the first thing is a deathly interest. A deathly interest. That's in your outline. There seems to be a fascination of demon-possessed people with death in one form or the other. Now, he lived among the tombs. He lived out in the graveyard. When I was in Cairo, Egypt, and some of you have been there, no doubt, and have seen the City of the Dead, they call it. And the main part is probably 10 square miles, and it's just mausoleum after mausoleum, and the people live there. And it's the slum, the worst slum area of all of Cairo. And these people live among the dead people out there. That would not be where I'd want to live. But that's where they live. And when I saw that, I was just amazed. But that City of the Dead would be similar to this, I guess, where there are those people that live there. But this idea of going out to the cemetery and going among the remains of people and living in the tombs was symbolic of his heart. And he was spiritually dead and had no interest in spiritual matters whatsoever. Anyone under the control of demons will naturally move toward more filth, more depravity, and more inhumane behavior. That all comes with it. And you say, well, why are these people today doing all they're doing? There's your answer. There's your answer right there. It's not that they were born that way or so on and so forth. It's that they are controlled by demons. Isaiah 65, 1 through 4, and I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4 for time. Isaiah said, a people that provoketh me to anger continually, to my face that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. This was probably referring to the Garden of Baal, where they would go in the Garden of Baal, and they would worship Baal, and they would burn incense in the Garden of Baal, worshiping pagan gods, and they would go to the graveyards. And Isaiah said, you don't need to do that. If you're saved, you need to come out and be separate, and that's what's going to happen. A lot of people today, probably millions, expose themselves to this kind of darkness. How do they do that? Well, one way, and grandparents, listen up, and parents too, is through video games. A lot of people become desensitized to demonic influences, demonic violence, through what we would call the cyber world. A lot of that has an impact on them. The Christian Post, a contributor to that, Michael Brown, he spoke with a youth pastor, this was sometime back in Seattle, Washington. This was after 9/11 and these attacks. And this youth pastor shocked him because he informed him that the high school students he spoke to were not even moved by this tragedy. It didn't even bother them so much. Now, that wasn't all of them, but the vast majority of them. And a lot of those teenagers told this writer, this Michael Brown, they shared these words, and they said, we've seen better graphics in video games than this. Better graphics, they called it. And so on television, that what they saw and what they experienced, they were desensitized to it. And they said it really didn't bother them because they were exposed to all of that kind of stuff through video games. And some video games may be okay, but you need to really know what's going on there. This maniac was very comfortable, evidently, with living there in the tombs with what we would call the abnormal. And so, no doubt, he was rejected by others, a social misfit, and that's where he had to go. And why was it? Because he had demons in him. And demons, you can always associate that with death. There's something about it. In fact, suicide many times is something that is associated closely with demonic activity, demonic concerns, especially, obviously, for those that are unsaved. So you had a deathly interest, and then we had a destructive strength, verses 3 through 5. He had a destructive strength. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now that's pretty powerful. Because that he had been often bound with fetters, that's on his feet, and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was a rascal, wasn't he? I wouldn't want to spend a night in a cemetery with that guy. But he was obviously under the influence of a greater power than himself. And that explains a lot of the some of the people who seem to have this unbelievable power that is so demonic, and it would take three or four policemen to pull them down. There are those who actually take tattoos and go into a frenzy, and it takes three or four people in some religions to hold them down because of the frenzy they go into, because they invite demons to come into their heart at that time. John 8:34, Jesus answered him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That's what he was. He was living in sin. He was a servant of sin. And you know, and I know, sin is always going to take you further than you want to go. It always does. And if you're dabbling with the occult, or anybody that's doing that, that's what's going to happen to them. And I have too many stories to tell you about that, but I can tell you that I've had to counsel and deal with people and deal with that, where they got to dealing with the occult, and the next thing you know, they were really messed up. So we have a deathly interest and destructive strength. And then a delirious tendency. A delirious tendency in verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And this goes together. But crying and cutting himself with stones. He was screaming, actually, is the word that really lends itself to that. Screaming, cutting with stones. And whenever a society forgets God and gets away from God, the people become more destructive, always. And this is one of the areas that they become destructive in. I think that America, all of us would probably agree that America right now is moving away from God and far closer to paganism than they are Christianity. It's just our culture. It's just our society. And I looked up some statistics here. 2023, 46% of adults over 18 have tattoos. And I'll say a little more about that, so don't get excited. Don't get upset. And the millennial parents, 62% of them have them. That's ages about 26 to 41. 62% of them have them. April the 14th, 2022, Generation X women, this would be from 1965 to 1980, ages about 43 to 58, have gone into this hair dyeing thing. And the most popular of those is purple, 41%, pink, 38%, blue, 35%. I've been thinking about getting yellow. But I don't think I will. But all of this is symbolic of what's going on in our culture. It's all going on in the culture. And so body piercings, other than the ears, the earlobes, a real tattoo you can't place into the body without breaking the skin, cutting the skin. And some of that goes with it. Years ago when I was in the Philippines, I saw that out in Manila Bay, and that jetty that goes out there is about a mile long, and people live in cardboard houses all along the rocks, and all of them had tattoos. They were the people that had the tattoos, and some of them had no clothes on. All they had was tattoos, just tattoos, and you couldn't tell they didn't have clothes on. In fact, we were in the grocery store, I don't know, a few months back, and some woman came by, Carolyn and I, and I thought it was tattoos, but it was a skin-tight type outfit, I didn't call it that, that she had put on. It made it look like it was tattoos all over her body. And I said, that's just one step closer to what was happening in the Philippines. And one of these days, probably, it probably exists now. Some of you may know. I wouldn't doubt if in San Francisco and some of those places that it exists, where they don't even wear the clothes, they just wear the tattoos. And it looks like they have some kind of clothes on. So anyway, some of that goes together. And so skin cutting, all of these things. We can dismiss this as a trend, but a trend of self-mutilation did not start among God-fearing people. It originated in pagan practices. Go back and study it and you'll find out that's where it was. Those who worship false gods would a lot of times use this method to appease their gods. For instance, 1 Kings 18, 26 through 28, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from the morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. That's one of my favorite verses. And they cried aloud and did what? Cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancet to the blood gushed out. So demonic influence, when under demonic influence, it's not just the tattoo, and it's not always just that, and it's not just immorality or an immoral relationship or those kind of things, but whatever it is, sin always has its consequences. Each year there are between 20 million new cases. There are 20 million new cases of sexually transmitted disease. Now, some people have tattoos and they have to live with those and piercings that they wish they had never gotten. May I just simply say this? We're not in the business of judging those people. If that's you or you know somebody like that, please understand that God's grace knows no limits. And he does want to use those people, and he will use those people. They probably did it at a time that they look back on some of it and regret what happened. I heard about, you've seen it probably, as a TV commercial. And so this guy has a big tattoo on his arm and a heart and a woman's name on it. And his wife said, I don't like that. He said, why? He said, well, that's your first wife. He said, well, that's also your mother's name. She said, that's even worse, you know. But anyway, enough about that. But I'm telling you, the whole thing is just, it's just reflecting our culture. Reflecting our culture. And we're seeing it today. And a great deal of that stuff is demonic. And Satan influence can really be strong. Well, we've got to really hurry, goodness. Deviant behavior. A deviant behavior, D in the outline. Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. And the scripture says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind And they were afraid. And here he is. There's been a change in the situation. And he was indwelled by, the word legion is used. Some think he had like a Roman legion of demons in him, which would have been quite a few people. But at any rate, there were demons in him. But he had this deviant behavior because of it. So here's a naked man running around the countryside, and that kind of behavior has been, ever since the Garden of Eden, has been viewed as shameful. Habakkuk 2:15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. So the Bible has something to say about that. So the concept of elevating nakedness is displeasing to God. And you and I both know now, you can hardly, and it's probably a good thing in a way, maybe we'll read our Bibles more, but you can't hardly watch television anymore without nudity. If they have some of those award programs, I think they compete with each other to see who can be almost naked in those situations. But all of that reflects our culture and the demon-controlled situation. And, of course, there's only hope is Jesus. So you have the presence of demonic influence. I'll never get through this lesson. We'll have to take it next week. But let me cover number two, just part of it. And that is the proclamation of deliverance. The proclamation of deliverance. This man was about to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just about to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all recorded there, verses 6 through 14. There was a deliverance from wickedness. Look at verse 6. And when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, worship means, literally, it means he bowed down. He esteemed him as important. This was the Eastern way of doing that. That doesn't mean that he was really worshiping him as you should worship him at that point, but he fell down recognizing like the Eastern people would do during that time. Verse 7, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Now the demons are speaking through him. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And so here's a man's voice being used, controlled by demons in this situation. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? You see, even demons believe in God. Some people don't, and we've talked to some of those, you have. But these demons cannot be saved because their situation, their doom is all settled. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil knows there is one God. The demons knows there is one God. And that's what they were saying when Jesus showed up in this situation. Believing in God, by the way, is not enough for you to be saved. You have to do more than that. It's not enough for salvation. You have to believe in Jesus and what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. So there's a deliverance from this weakness that this man had because he was possessed by demons. And then B in your outline, and we'll have to finish up here, in verses 8, 9, and 13, chapter 5, verse 8, this has to do with deliverance by the word. Deliverance by the word. Verse 8 and 9, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then drop down to verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 hogs, and they were choked in the sea. This is the first case of suicide in the Bible. Suicide in the first case of devil hams that is mentioned anywhere in the world. So that's all there in this situation. But they were delivered by the word. How was he delivered? God spoke. Jesus spoke. The words of Christ are always powerful. They're always right. And we do not underestimate, I hope, the power of demonic influence and control over people. But we should never underestimate the power of God's word. That's why you can go to somebody like that, somebody that's living deep in sin, and give them the power of the word. Give them a testimony of how to be saved. And they can be saved, and their whole life changes because of the power of the word. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? The word of God. Hearing by the word of God. And so the word rebukes demonic power. And so Jesus was the word, quoting the word, and this man got saved, and there was a great change in his life. We'll have to stop there, and we'll pick up the rest of that. So bring your outline back next time, all right? And we'll get to that then. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for including this in Holy Writ for our benefit, for our exhortation, in our teaching. And Lord, we know that the devil is real and demons are real. And we know that they have power. But we also know that Jesus can change all of that. If we can just get the word to them and they will believe, they can be born again and their whole life will change. They'll be freed from demonic control, demonic oppression, and demonic control in their lives in any way. And so we thank you for this beautiful picture of this crazy man, this madman, this lunatic that nobody wanted to be around. He had to live in the cemetery. But Jesus, you went right to him and witnessed to him, gave him your word because you were the word, and the man got saved. And he was completely, completely changed. And we'll see that more as we look into your word next week. Lord, thank you for the power of the word of God. And thank you that no matter how deep people go in sin, no matter how deep they are, that they are savable if we get the word to them and if they believe in Jesus. We pray and ask this in his name. Amen.